Good morning, everyone. I hope you have had good breakfast because we are going to be running into lunch of this, so I'm thinking not to hold you off guys more. So today's session is going to be all about Azure websites. Just to set some forum, we are not going to show you how to create or deploy or manage your websites. I'm pretty much aware that most of you are in this room who are watching the session are aware on how to do that. We're going to show you how exactly you can debug your sites, what are the tooling which is available both in Visual Studio and outside Visual Studio, and how do we go about it, what all things you can look at. Okay. So before we start that, let me introduce myself. I am Kaushal, and this is my colleague Puneet.
Hello.
Both of us are escalation engineers at Microsoft, and we are working on Azure website for the last 2 years. Okay. So starting with the product itself, so we know that we have three kinds of offerings for compute: IaaS VMs, which is Azure VMs, then we have cloud services, and then we have one of the most coolest, which is Azure websites, because it lets you work only on the application and be least bothered about the environment. So the focus is more towards application. And as you all know, you can create, manage, deploy whatever just in a couple of seconds. So your production site can go in live in just a couple of seconds compared to your on-premise, where you have to go through a bunch of things like provisioning the VMs and all the stuff, or even provisioning the hardware for that matter. So you do a lot of stuff before you do all of this, before you go put your site into production.
Okay. Now, before we proceed further, I just want an idea about our audience. How many of you have really deployed an Azure website? OK. How many of you are ASP.NET developers? OK, which is very good. So with that, so we talk about deployment. Now, whenever we deploy a website, we see that it's not that smooth of an experience.
Yeah. And sometimes you do run into issues. You might run into common issues where you know you have code dependencies. The version of DLLs on your box is different than the version deployed on the cloud or on the VM or the production site. Then you may also run into your yellow screen of deaths. You might even get the 500 errors, all the server errors that you might encounter. So let's say when you encounter these issues, what is the first thing that you do? The first step that you take. What do you do, Puneet, when you encounter these errors?
So when I encounter an error?
Yeah, anything of this.
I do an IaaS reset.
How many of you agree with him? Let's say you cannot do an IaaS reset.
See, there's one person who agreed with me.
I don't agree with you both, so give me something else. What do you do when you encounter these errors?
Logs.
Okay, that's a good thing to start with. So what kind of logs do you look at? And where do you look at them?
So let's try to make this a bit more interactive, because I want to understand. See, this is all about troubleshooting. So we want to understand how you troubleshoot, and we want to see if you can use our learnings and take them back home. So what do you do, or how do you troubleshoot a website? What are the common logs to look at? You said logs, which is very, very, very
generic, but it's a good thing. What kind of logs will you look at?
Application logs, event viewer, amazing. So what are application logs? When you say application logs, you mean which kind of application logs? Like you're talking about trace statements in your code, or what do you mean by application logs? Trace.
Okay, so
trace. So it includes trace statements and other logs.
Yeah.
How many of you people put trace statements in your application when you write code?
Okay.
Don't be surprised. That's how people write code. Like, who has time to put trace statements, right? People are not putting trace statements. We know that every day, because you come to us for issues, and we know you don't have any trace statements. So first thing is, in this world, you should think about tracing a bit more seriously than you have been thinking. But we will talk about other things. So trace statements are out. What kind of application logs are we talking about here? IaaS logs, of course, but they are not application logs. What other application logs do you know about? Sorry? App pull logs. We don't have anything called as app pull logs.
Sorry? Relic is a separate thing altogether.
What logs you're talking about for app pull? That's IaaS logs.
Okay, so we'll
there
show
is
you.
No app pull log as far as I know, and I've been working on IaaS for the last 10 years. So, sorry?
Okay, let's forget about all the logs. So which is the first tool, okay, which is the first tool as a developer you use to start troubleshooting or start debugging? as an ASP.NET developer, which is the one most tool that, or IDE, which you use the most? Visual Studio. So what all logs do you look at in Visual Studio? Let's say if you're troubleshooting an Azure website. Okay, so let me show that to you. So we have pretty much a lot of capabilities in Visual Studio or tooling to debug your Azure website, starting with the foremost, which is your remote debugging. So when you do that, right, we're actually launching an MSVSMon process on the remote Azure website infrastructure, and you can do that. So you don't have to do and open any ports for that because we are doing everything on HTTPS. Okay. Secondly, you can also do a lot of logs, and I'm going to show that to you. So first thing what I'm going to do is, we have a Server Explorer here on the left. In case if you're not aware, this is the first thing which can give access to you for Azure infrastructure. I am interested in websites, so I'm going to open that blade, expand everything, and let me minimize this. So this is my website, which I've deployed here already, azconf. So when I look at this, you can see that I have pretty much all the capabilities here.
Escape and...
Right. So I'm going to expand this now. So you can see that it's also giving insight into all those things which are available into my site. The actual site content, and we have something called as the log files folder. Okay, but let me show you how you can access this right from within the portal, or right from within the Visual Studio. I'll right click this and select view settings. Okay, so you get these two things where you can actually change the configuration of your site. Let me be more specific. Application related configuration, you can't do anything managing for the VM, only you can change the settings for the application. You cannot do scale up all those things from here because this grants only access to your application. So you can enable logs, you can enable or disable your HTTP logs. So this web server logging corresponds to my IIS logs. Then we have detailed error messages, and then you have failed request tracing. Okay, and then you have application logging. So if you have added instrumentation into your code, you can see all those, and you can either store it on the file system, or on table, or even Azure storage. And then you have the remote debugging settings. You can either turn this on. Once you set this to on, you can do your remote debugging yourself. Now, I want to quickly show you one of the logs and the way you can download them right from here. Let's say you have enabled everything. You can just go click on this download button, and it'll prompt you to download the entire log. And I'm assuming that I have a pretty small amount of logs because I deployed this site only a couple of times. So the logs have been downloaded. Let me extract it here. And it always zips and downloads because it's always better to compress your data and then download it. So Azure website does it automatically for you. So now let's take a look at this, all the logs here. So I have application logs, the retailer logs. This is my IIS logs that I was talking about. And then I have site extensions, transform, all those events that I have. And then we have the event log.xml. If somebody's looked into this, it gives you a similar view that you have for event viewer on your Windows operating system. Okay. In order to debug your site, right, I'll have Puneet take over from here and show you how exactly we do that.
So typically in Visual Studio, what you do is you come over here in Visual Studio, let's say this is your page, and you hit the play button, which basically launches this in IIS Express or the local development environment. If you want to debug a remote Azure website, what you need to do is, in the same UI where you have the Azure website noticed opened over here, you can right click and say attach debugger. What this does is it basically attaches to the Azure website which is running in the cloud for you. Now let's just do that and see what happens.
And before this note, you have to enable remote debugging either in the portal or right from the Visual Studio.
So what we are trying to show here is you can do all those things in the portal, but the Visual Studio integration lets you do and manage all these things right from Visual Studio. You don't have to switch back to portal and come back to Visual Studio and then back and forth. All these things you can do from Visual Studio. Now we just browse the. Now we just enabled remote debugging, and it actually made a request to my website, which is basically spinning over here, and my breakpoint is hit. Now all those people who are familiar with debugging ASP.NET Core will see that this is the same debugging experience that you get when you debug a website locally. So you can see your locals, you can even change the value of these locals to whatever you want. So I can say hello world from Azure Conference. I can see the call stack, I can see value of these locals. All those things are possible, I can step through the code. So all that debugging experience is available to you in Visual Studio. I'll just let this go. So that the page loads, and once the page is loaded, I'll be able to see this message here. So all the debugging experience that you get today in Visual Studio locally is possible when you deploy the website to the Azure VM, to the Azure website.
Okay, so he just showed you remote debugging. I just want to step back and go back to Visual Studio and want to show you something very specific. So how many of you are aware of failed request chasing? Anyone knows what failed request chasing is?
So it's not an app pool setting. So, but it is a trace. Yeah, it's a trace setting. What does it trace? Fail request tracing in IIS. What does it trace? So it traces the status code. Okay. So very good. We can give a range of the error codes for tracing. So you can say what error codes to trace, etc. That's nice. But what does it contain? What does, how does the log look like? Have you ever had a chance to look at the log? Perfect. So that deserves a goodie over here. So yeah. So you have a failed request tracing in IIS, which basically Kaushal is going to show. So what we have done is we have enabled failed request tracing on this website. And we are going to show you how the trace log looks like.
So I just downloaded this file. It has been downloaded here. So what I'm going to do is, you can look at it right from within the Visual Studio, or I will copy this, go here, and look at it in Internet Explorer. So basically what this gives me, it gives me for one specific request, where exactly, which module, in which module was the time spent. So there are multiple ways to look at it. So this was for a 500.19, which typically means there was an error in the configuration. And going to the compact view here, I can look at what are the time spent in each and every module for this specific request, and which was the module which was initiated. And scrolling down further, you can also get to know which was the module which threw the error. So this is how to go about. So this is one of the ways you can start troubleshooting on Azure websites, or even for IIS that matter. This is available in IIS. It has been extended to Azure websites. So this is how all the tooling capabilities that we have right from within the Visual Studio. Okay, so you have all these options. You can enable logs, you can remote debug your site, and you can even download the logs right from the Azure website for your specific application onto your local machine and then take a look at them. Okay, so this was the built-in tooling support. Now, sometimes the developers might feel a little handicapped because they think they don't have access to the infrastructure, right? You definitely want to take a look at the file system or give a little more capabilities in terms of creating certain logs or creating certain folders. So what we have is we have something called as the Kudu console, which is an application sitting right beside your application on a VM where you're hosting your application. So basically, the way to access that is you have a site called as, let's say, I'll give an example of my site. Let's say I have a site called kaushal.azurewebsites.net. To access the Kudu console, we append these three letters right between my site name and azurewebsites.net. So if I want to access the Kudu console, I will specify kaushal.scm.azurewebsites.net, okay, where SCM stands for Site Control Manager. So I'll just switch back here and show you what exactly I'm going to do. I'm going to copy this exactly here, switch to a new tab, do a control V, SCM. So just note, I added these three letters here, SCM. Okay, so these are three letters which I added. And once I hit enter, you will get a new application. Now note that you don't have to do anything for you to get access to this. This is available by default to you, and only the subscription admins can access this application. This is not accessible to the end users. So if somebody is a subscription admin, you will be able to access this application. Now, since I've already logged into my site and to my portal, it's not prompting me for credentials, but it will do. I'll let Puneet explain more about what are the capabilities of Kudu console.
So this console is basically your sneak peek into the Azure VM, which is running your website. From here, you can have a look at how the environment of your website looks like. You can see things like system information, how many processors you have. You can even find the name of the machine which is running this website. You can see things like your application settings, your connection strings, all at one place. You can see how the path variable looks like. Let's say you have some custom code in your web application which is checking for path variables. You can see how the HTTP headers which are coming to this website look like. All this you can actually see from here. Sometimes from a developer standpoint, it is important for you to understand how these variables look like, because you may have a dependency in your code on these. So this gives you a quick view of how the environment looks like. It's not only that. Over here, we have this very nice thing called the debug console. You can have a PowerShell console or a command-based console to your VM. So when I say PowerShell, what it gives me the ability to do is, it is giving me a PowerShell console to my VM. Okay, so it's almost like I'm able to, whatever you can do in PowerShell, a stripped down version of that you can do in this console. For example, I can do basic things like GPS, which is the get process. So I'm able to see the process list on my VM. Now notice we give you access to whatever we think you need. For example, you're not able to see all the things like systems, SVC host, and other processes. We believe you need access to these processes and the memory for these processes. So we are showing you information around that. So you can also, if you go to the top over here, you can see this is like a file explorer. So this is your, if you hover over here, this is your site home. And this is the site root, which is basically how the content gets deployed. And over here, you have the system drive. So this is the system drive of the machine which is running this particular website. So if you go inside here, let me just increase the view a little bit so you can see. So if you go inside here, you can do things like CD Windows. Now you are inside the Windows folder. So you can do Microsoft.net, you can do framework, you can do, go inside the V4 version if you want and do a DIR. So let's say I want to find the version of a particular DLL which is loaded in my process. So I can say DIR, CLR.DLL and I'll just use the small PowerShell thing format list. So you can basically see the exact version of every binary which is running your website. So for example here, it tells me that I am running this version of CLR.DLL and I'm running 4.5.2 on my VM. So like this, you can actually examine all the DLL bitnesses or all the DLL versions which are loaded in your website. At times this is important. Let's say if you want to see whether a particular patch is there on the VM or not, using this technique you'll be able to identify what is the exact version of a DLL which is running on your machine. So if you go up to the top, you can see basically as you scroll or as you navigate into the folders, the UI on the top is refreshing for you. And this is not just a file viewer. You can actually drag and drop things to this particular console. And for example, let me just create a new folder in my site home. I'll call it log parser. How many of you know what is log parser? One person. So log parser is a tool that we use to parse the log files for IIS. You can basically write SQL-like queries in log parser tool and, you know, extract data from an IIS log and get whatever information you need. So what I'll do is I'll drag and drop the log parser DLL and the log parser component into my Kudu console, into the new folder which I just created. So let me go inside the log parser folder, which is currently empty. And I have these two files that I am going to need. Let me just resize it a little bit. Move this over here. So I'll copy these two from here and drag them to this browser. So you can drag and drop stuff to this browser and the files will get copied. So now the file is copied to the VM through the Kudu console. So it's not just a file viewer. You can actually drag and drop anything that you want. So I've got these two components loaded. I can basically run a log parser query. So this particular query is basically trying to get list of all the requests which are running slow. So this will show me the top 10 slowest requests for my website. So all I'm doing is I'm extracting the URI, I'm saying time taken from my website's logs, which are the IIS logs, and I'm trying to show them over here. So I'll copy this, go back to my Kudu console's PowerShell view, and I'll just paste it here. And I run this. So now it has run that log parser exe, which has gone inside my IIS logs, extracted this information, and it is able to show you. And all this I am able to do without even downloading the logs to my machine. So using this technique, you can basically view your IIS logs using the log parser tool, which we typically use on a day-to-day basis to read information from the IIS logs. So moving on, we have this Process Explorer, which yep. I'll let Kaushal talk about.
So I think this is something which everybody uses. So how many of you use Task Manager or are aware of what Task Manager is?
I'm hoping everybody
does. So when do you use it? Okay. So
memory, CPU, process, thread, everything. Information, etc.
So we can look at all those information right from here. Okay. And typically I use on my Windows operating system when there's a process I know is actually taking a lot of memory, is hanging, I just go right click and kill it. So I can do that right from here. Again, just right click and say kill it. What you can also do is you can also capture a memory dump right from here. Either you can take a small dump, a mini dump, or a full-blown process dump of that specific process. Now, let me show you there are three processes here. One is for the MSVSmon, which is for the remote debugging purpose. W3WPXs, we have two. One is for the Kudu console, and one is for my application. The one which has this SCM is for the Kudu console, and the one which is here is for my site. So I can, let me just kill this process here.
So these MSVSmons are the debugging tools which are getting started when we were doing remote debugging. So, okay.
So if I kill that process, you'll also kill that child process which has spawned because of that. And, to be more specific, you only get access to the process that you're interested in, not system-related processes, because if you kill that, you'll actually kill that operating system and restart the operating system. We don't want that to happen, so we give only the necessary access to the necessary processes. What you can also do is, you can also right-click the process and look at the properties like your, you know, the handles and other properties. So I can actually go here and just say properties, or you can at the right, and it'll give you a view of the modules, the handles, the threads, the environment variables, and all the stuff right from here. So a similar view to your task manager is right available from this console too. So a lot of features are available. Now I'm going to quickly show you one more thing, site extensions. To make you understand what site extension is, let's say you need certain functionality to manage your application or to perform any kind of stuff. So let's say if you have a PHP site, you want to manage a PHP site. If you want to replicate your site, you have another site where you want to replicate the site code. You know how the functionality is, right? You just want to copy the code. You want to copy the code from this folder to that folder. So for that, you can write a simple application and have it deployed. So for all such kind of similar functionalities, we have come up with this feature, which is called a site extensions, where you can write your own custom code, which you can do a certain thing and have it uploaded and approved, and it'll show up here. So we have already a list of site extensions here, and you will see that Visual Studio Online, Diagnostic as a Service, Application Insights, Site Replicator, and then you have PHP Manager, all these things. So these are not available by default. You'll have to go here, click on the plus button to install it, and then they become available to your site. So if you do all of this right, it becomes available to you. So if I can install a specific extension here, which we have already installed. So we have this Azure Websites Event Viewer. And since my colleague Puneet is the one who originally wrote it, I'll let him demonstrate what this site extension is all about and what kind of function it provides.
So just to recap, a site extension is basically a set of tools that you want to write for your website. These are community-based, meaning anybody can write this and upload it to the site extension gallery, which is available here. So www.siteextensions.net. You can write a site extension, which is nothing else but a web application. It can be static, it can be ASP, it can be ASP.NET, it can be PHP. Whatever runs in Azure website is a site extension. So you can write a site extension and upload it via here. You can basically is a project. So this website over here gives you all the details of how you go about it. You sign in over here and you will be able to upload a site extension. And once it is uploaded, you will start seeing this in this gallery. Okay, once it is uploaded over here and you can see it in the gallery, the site extension becomes available on this particular portal. So all the site extensions which people have written today for Azure websites are viewable here. Then as he was saying, you can click the plus sign and install them here. And before I explain what this extension really does, I just want to show you what we have here. So when Kaushal was downloading the logs, there was this event log.xml came in. Okay, if we open it in a browser, this is nothing else but the application event log on the machine which is running your VM. And at times, this information is helpful if you're troubleshooting an ASP.NET issue, for example, like an unhandled exception. As we all know, that the yellow screen of deaths, all those errors go inside the event viewer. So you can have a look at this file. Let's say you are browsing to your website and you're not getting the real error on the page. You can come to this file, eventlog.xml, and see what is the actual exception which happened when that request was processed. Now, if you can go down and look, read this file, you'll slowly notice it's a bit ugly because it's XML and you have to, you know, go like line by line. So the site extension basically demonstrate a use case. So what we have done is we have basically showing you the site extension in a nice way. When I click the launch button, we are basically showing you the same event viewer parsed in a better way. So here is how that eventlog.xml looks like. I can do things like I am just interested in, let's say, the .NET runtime and the ASP.NET errors. I can hit apply. So it shows me only the ASP.NET errors. And I can click over here and see that event just like you would see in a Windows event viewer. So hopefully this gives you the idea behind why you need site extensions. It's just an extensibility point wherein, you know, if there is something not available in the Kudu console and you want to extend the Kudu console, we have given you an extensibility point of creating it as a site extension, uploading it to the gallery, and then people who want to use it can basically use it on any Azure website. We have a question here. Yes, sir. It's basically, so what we did is, for this demo, we have been scaling it up and down, so which means it goes to free mode, then it goes to standard mode, then it goes to basic mode, so that's why the computer name that you see here is different, but that's a good catch over there. So it's showing you the computer name of the event on which this computer, this event was generated. So because these are different machines, you don't care which machine it is running. You want to see the event emitted by your website. So we are showing you the event for your website, be it on any computer. Yeah, there's another question. Of course. So the question is, if I have an ASP.NET website, can I add a site extension which is written in PHP? You can. You just have to create that web application and upload it to the site extension gallery and you'll be able to run it. Yes, sir. I am sorry, I can't hear that. Does the load balancer
the question
affecting
is
what? No. The reason I was saying why the computer name is different is because we were running this site first in the free mode. And to show some demos, we have to scale it to the basic or standard mode. So free mode runs on some specific set of VMs. And the standard mode runs on some specific set of VMs. That's why the machine name is different. If you have more than one instance of your website, then of course you will see different computer names here. Yeah. 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 Exactly. So when he started the presentation, there was a quick slide which was showing three offerings for three ways to host web applications in Azure. One is IaaS, in which you get the virtual machine and you put your application. The second is cloud service, which is how cloud started some years back. This is Azure website, which became general availability 2013. So this is the latest PaaS offering for hosting web applications. All what we are going to show today is about websites. Yeah.
So this is more specific to Azure websites. So what you're asking is about cloud services. Cloud services, different offering altogether. This is more specific to Azure websites. And all this tooling that we're talking about is for Azure websites. The reason being, on cloud service, you can at least access the VM, and you can take a look at all the files. You have kind of access to the VM. Here, you don't have access to the VM. You have only access to the portal. And you just have an idea that this is how you're not worried about the underlying environment at all in case of Azure website. You just you write your application, you deploy it. We just take care of that's going to run.
Yeah, one more question. Yeah.
In the website, do you have web jobs?
Correct.
So, does this support web jobs
as well? So when you say, does this support web job, what do you really mean? Correct. Correct. Very good question. So the question is, if let's say I'm running a web job. Now, for those of you who do not know what a web job is, in Azure websites, so we have in cloud services a worker role and a web role. So worker role does the processing and the web role does the front end part. In Azure websites, you do have similar concept, but we call it as an Azure web job. Azure web job is nothing else but an EXE which does some background processing, whereas the website runs your actual code. So his question is, if there is an error which happens in the Azure web job, will this be visible in the Kudu console? The answer to that is Azure web jobs store logs in their own folders. You will be able to come to Kudu console and view those logs. If by any chance the Azure web job is logging an event in the application event viewer logs, it will be visible here.
So, both sits on the same
VM? Azure web job sits on the same VM as your website. Yeah. 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 No.
No,
that's the standard concept of debugging. You can only debug if you deploy it as a debug mode. You cannot debug a release mode website. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Is this a preview or is it already out for public?
It's already out. It's
this whole thing is out. This is all fully supported by Microsoft. Yeah. In fact, if you are interested, the whole Kudu console, how this Kudu console works and how we are able to get all this information is available on GitHub. If you search for Kudu console on GitHub, you can see all the source code. It's open sourced. Every site extension that we are writing today is open sourced. You can actually view all the code on GitHub. We are trying to do it so that people can write more site extensions and they can see how our stuff is working. Yeah. Staging slots and production slots? Yeah, it is available. Yeah. All the things that a website logs, all this is just a way to get access to that environment and those folders which are containing your logs. So yes, this is available for both of them. Okay? Yeah. No, no, no. So what we have is there are four tiers in which you can run a website. First is the free tier, which is like free. Then is a shared tier in which you run your website along with other websites. Then we have a basic tier in which we dedicate a VM to you. And then we have standard tier, which has much more capabilities than a basic tier. So this Kudu console is available for all the tiers. Yeah. Yeah. Can you repeat that question, please?
I'll repeat this question. So his question is, can I migrate my site from Azure website to Azure VM? So I'll answer that. So basically what you can do is, if you see, we have the File Explorer view. You also have a download button right where when you go to the debug console, you can download your site content and put that on Azure VM. So that's going to be straightforward for you to do that. But it does not have any separate tooling where you can say, click on migrate and migrate from Azure websites to Azure VM.
Now here is a different version of the answer to the same question. When you say migrate your website, I would assume you have Visual Studio and you have published it as an Azure website, right? The same Visual Studio, you can use it to publish to any IIS server, and Azure VM is nothing else but an IIS server running on an Azure VM.
Yeah.
So I don't see a real migration scenario or use case coming here. You use the Visual Studio to publish to an Azure website. You use the same Visual Studio to publish to any IIS server which may be running on an Azure VM.
Okay, so in interest of time, we just continue. We can take questions a little later because we are just running, we are just 15 minutes left. I don't want to hold you guys for your lunch. So we will be available outside post the session. You can come and ask any questions that you have.
Okay, so after the Kudu console, what we want to talk about is another thing which we believe is available to ease out the life of a developer or a person who's managing the website, and that is called as the support portal. When you go to the tools option in the Kudu console, we have something called as the support portal. Let me just launch it and you will see what it is. So this is basically, now notice the URL here. Oops, I pressed the wrong key. Notice the URL here. Every site extension that we publish in Azure website extension will be like an additional name after the Kudu URL. So support portal is nothing else but a site extension. For example, if I go back to my event viewer, if you notice the URL, how this event viewer we are able to hit is basically the Kudu console URL and the name of my site extension. So likewise, support portal is nothing else but a site extension which is running in the Azure website. So let's now show you what it is. So when we go over here, first thing is it gives you an ability to have a view of the live site traffic which is hitting your website. So let me just reset it a little bit. So it shows you, first of all, how many requests are coming, what is the current, how does the current request count looks like. But more than that, you have this analyze button, which basically is filled with some other options which are important for you to see. So we looked at those FREB logs a few minutes back, right? We were able to see the failed request tracing logs. What this console gives you is a better way to view all these logs. You can click on the FREB logs button, and basically it is giving you a list and a table of how each file looks like. So for example, it is showing you that this particular FREB 04 file is for a page let me just zoom it a bit. So this file is for this particular request, and it was a GET request. It returned a status code 200, and the time taken for this particular URL was 10 seconds. Now let's see what you can figure out from this FREB log. So below only in this window, you have this particular FREB log displayed. So you can go to the compact view. First of all, in the request summary view, you can see that we spent 10 seconds on this request. Oops. We spent 10 seconds in serving this request. And then when you go to the compact view, you can see that for every module or every notification which acted on this particular request, we are logging an event and the corresponding timeline. So you can have a look at this time and see where exactly this time is changing. So if I scroll down, I can see that at this point the time is 15:13:24, and right here, I'll just zoom it a little. Right here, it basically changed from 15:13:24 to 15:13:34. So 10 seconds I spent in between these two modules. And let's see what are those modules. So they are page load enter and page load leave. So basically, this tells me that this delay is due to an application issue. I am doing something in my application due to which this website is loading slow. Now, this trace file will help you identify whether the issue lies within your application code, or is it within the infrastructure, or is it within an HTTP handler or an HTTP module which you have got from a third party package or a third party site. So this will help you isolate the issue to some extent. Now, most of the times we know that whenever you run into problems, it might be something which is happening in your code. So how do we get a view of where this time is being spent? And that's where we want to show you the next thing in the support portal, which is the diagnostics tab. Give me 1 second. So when you click on this diagnostics tab, we have various diagnosers that we have made available for Azure website. Now, we have various diagnosers which let you analyze the data which is existing in an Azure website. So we have a diagnoser for analyzing an event viewer. We have diagnoser for analyzing the HTTP log. And we also have a capability to take a memory dump of your process, of the worker process which is hosting your website, and analyze it for you to see if there are any known issues that we can detect. How many of you know what is a memory dump? One. What is a memory dump?
Basically, the content of the RAM.
It is the content of the RAM.
Not to free up the RAM,
sorry. Okay, so how do you collect a memory dump? Very good. I'm happy that somebody in this room knows what a memory dump is. So the reason why I'm happy is because we on a day-to-day basis deal with memory dumps. I deal with at least 10-15 memory dumps every day when I'm helping customers who run into performance problems. So what we want to show you is the capability in Azure websites where we have the ability to take a memory dump, analyze it for you, and report some issues that we find are good for you to look at. Now, You can choose what all analyzers you want. You also have a PHP analyzer, which basically analyzes the PHP logs. If your website is a PHP website running in Azure, you can enable this diagnoser, and it will analyze those logs as well. So I'm going to hit cancel here, because this basically gives you how, what all diagnostics you have. So why would you use, or when exactly would you click this button? You would basically want to click on diagnose now whenever your website is facing some kind of a problem. So let's say your website is slow. Okay, you host a website in Azure website and it is slow. And let's say it's the same scenario wherein we see that the page load enter and page load leave event, in between that we are losing 10 seconds. Let's say you are encountering issue of that sort right now. In that situation, what you want to do is you want to come to the support portal and hit diagnose now. At that time, it will basically go ahead and submit a diagnostic session for your website, and it will start collecting the data for your website and start analyzing it. So at this time, it is collecting the logs, the various logs which are available for your VM. It will also trigger a memory dump, collect it, analyze it, and then give you a report. So it takes a few minutes for this whole process to finish. So what we want to show you is already an existing memory dump which we collected. So when you click, it will show you what all files were collected. And on the right-hand side, you have this analysis status, which is basically showing you the report generated for that analysis. So when you click on this, it basically gives you a nice report. If it works, okay. It gives you a nice report of what all issues were detected in this file. So for example, it's basically first of all showing you that, hey, you know what, debug is set to true for this website, and it's not a good thing to have debug set to true in production. And along with that, it is giving you some feedback as well. So it's also showing you that there are a lot of threads in this dump which are making a call to the sleep API. Okay, and I can click one of these threads and see the call stack. So I can basically see that that slow page load, which I saw in the FREB logs, is basically making a call to the thread.sleep. Like that, let's see what else it detects. So if you go on the top, it is also showing that there are some threads which are waiting on data to be returned from the database server. So I can click here and see what is that thread looking like. I can see where that page is coming from. And I can see the exact command which it is executing, which is basically the it's running this procedure and it's passing this particular command parameter to it, and this is the page, and this is how the connection string looks like. So what we are doing while generating this report is we know common things that happen in a web application. A web application will make calls to web services, WCF services, SQL, some known things web applications do. So we are tracking all the active activity which is happening in the process at that time and reporting it out in this file. There would be chances when your website may not be doing any of the known things that we track, but it still may be slow. In which case, what you can do is you go on the top of this report, and there is this HTTP context report, which basically shows you the active running pages in this memory dump. So it shows you that these many pages are running, and it shows you how many seconds the page is alive, and it has a thread ID next to it. So this view shows you all the running requests in the memory dump, and you can click on these threads to see what exactly the thread is doing. In this case, we just have two scenarios, sleep call and a SQL call. For your application, you may see your custom code. You may see your function names. So using that information, you'll be able to identify what is the function which is taking longer. Okay, so this is one way in which you can basically get an insight into your code using the support portal. So that's about support portal. We want to move on and talk about something else, which is auto healing. Now, at times, we have situations wherein you have a website which is not performing well, and typically you are in a pressure to basically resolve it as soon as possible. Auto healing is like a band-aid for your website, wherein it allows you to do specific things on a custom event. For example, you can take custom actions based on request code, slow requests, or a particular status code, basically request count, sorry. So you can say, after my website has served these many requests, recycle that website to ensure that the website stays healthy. You can even say that if the website is taking this much time to load, collect a memory dump, analyze it for me, and restart the website. So auto healing is like a band-aid for your websites, in which case you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night just to restart a website. You can enable these rules, keep them in the place, let these things happen so that in case your website is performing bad, there is something which heals your website. So you can take a lot of actions, and the way you do it is you can add this configuration like this. All this is documented. So you have what this configuration is telling us over here is, if there are 5 requests which take more than 10 seconds in an interval of 1 minute, perform the next action. So I'm saying 10 seconds in time taken, 5 count, interval 1 minute. When this happens, execute this particular tool, which is basically something which is available on Azure websites for you. So what this will do is it will collect a memory dump, kill your process, so a new process gets spawned up, and it will analyze it for you. So like that, you have a lot of options which are available for Azure websites for auto healing. You can do things like analyze, you can collect data, analyze it for you, restart, recycle, all those things you can do through the auto healing. And this is done just by putting some amount of configuration in your web.config. So with that, we want to move on to the next thing, which is application insights.
So before they even start about application insights, so I think everyone in this room should be aware of all the tooling capabilities and what kind of tools are available to you in order to diagnose your site, okay? Now, so these are the tools which are available, and yes, they provide, you have to do certain actions and things to go about it, but now, performance modding, somebody, I think you mentioned New Relic, so do you know, so instead of talking about that, I'm gonna talk about performance monitoring. So performance monitoring is a nice aspect of web application today, which is very, very important. So application insight is nothing but a performance monitoring tool, which basically allows you to keep a tab of how is your application performing, what are the things it's taking care about, and it allows you to even diagnose or see, take a look at what all things is happening within my application, what are the number of errors, how the users are using the application. It's very, very critical to understand how exactly my application is being used. So you have usage trends, you know, so you, which will allow you to understand what are the users who are using my website, what kind of browsers are the users using my website for, are they accessing from a client-side mobile, or are they using a desktop browser. So you can take a look at all those stats by using a performance monitoring, and application insights is all about that. So instead of me showing you all these pictures, and I'm gonna show you an actual demo, and just to let you know, this service is currently in preview, and it's in performance monitoring tool. So I'm going to switch to, let me close all the tabs. I'm going to go to the new Azure portal. Note that this is not currently available in the older portal. This is available in the new portal. And this is sitting as a service. The first thing which you want to do is you want to create an application inside service, or basically it's an endpoint where you feed all your application data. It's going to use that and then do all this capability for you. So first thing that you're going to do is
close it.
Oh. Let's give it some time. So while it's going to load the Azure portal, so the first thing, as I said, you're going to create a service. We're going to use the portal to create a service. And then once the service is created, I'm going to go back to Visual Studio and have this configured either for my existing applications or for my new applications. You can do that. So basically, I already have one created. So all you need to do is go to Browse. And scrolled here at the top, you have application insights. So I've already created one for the purpose of this demo, or I have two, I would say. One AZConf test, and one is on cloud. So this is the one which is currently used by looking at this icon. So basically what it does is it gives me a set of features which are available and all the health mounting data. I'll show that to you later. Now, so in my Visual Studio, so what I'll do is if I want to just expand this a little bit. So you have this capability here which says, what, and you have right built-in tooling for this. You can just select add in application insights telemetry. And once I do that right, let me zoom back. Basically, once I pull it out back, once I add the application insights telemetry, all it's going to do is add HTTP modules to your web.config. Basically, Application Insights is going to sit as a module within your application, collect all the instrumentation data, feedback to that Application Insights service, and that service will use all the data to pull that browse and all this information. Now, it also adds the capability to get information from your client browser as well. So it injects a JavaScript in your HTML code to collect client statistics data. So it collects both the server statistics and the client statistics and feeds into the Application Insights service. Now I can, as I said, I created that Application Insights service, and once I do that add application to telemetry, it will ask me to choose, do I want to create a new one or I want to use the existing one? So I can select either of these, or I can create a new one and just say, so basically in the background, Visual Studio will go ahead and add the necessary injecting modules and do all the stuff. Now I don't want to waste time doing all this because it'll take a couple of seconds, and since we're running out of time, I'm going to quickly jump back to the portal here. Let me zoom out here. So this is my Application Insights blade. Now I'll just take a couple of seconds to explain you what exact information is available. Now first thing you can do is you can select the time range of the data that you can look at. So you can select either to 4 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, or even for last 7 days. So I have certain statistics, I did certain tests, browsed from different browsers, did certain kind of stress tests from different geographical locations. So we can take a look at what all I did. Okay. So first thing, so this is all about statistics, and for the client side JavaScript, we have this quick start blade here.
So I think it's 30 days. As of now, it is 30 days, but it is expected to grow. And the amount of data, I believe it's somewhere in 30 or 50 GB, but even that is going to grow.
So basically, the data retention period at the Azure storage type is 30 days. In the view, you can either set it to 7 days, or you can specify a time range. So,
It's both. It's basically both. So what he's trying to show you is, first of all, let's say you have a website which is running in Azure websites. There is a way for you to monitor it today. And the same capability allows you to run a stress test on it and see how the website behaves.
So let me give you.
So both of these are available.
So let me explain more about it. Sometimes it's very important to do real-time monitoring. Let's say your web application goes down, your web application is taking a lot of time suddenly, and user requests are failing. So what it does is, it also has a functionality where you can configure alert rules. So you can say, if my website gets 400, send me an email. If my website is taking more than certain number of seconds, send me an email. So real-time performance monitoring is all it is all about today, and this is just one of the service offerings. Okay. So
he's going to show you that. Just if you give us 2 minutes, we'll be done, and then I think it will make more sense.
Okay. So for the client statistics, this is a JavaScript which is injected. So if you have an application where you want to go and manually do all this to yourself, you have to just copy this course and put it in the HTML file of the application. So if it's an ASPX, you put this in the ASPX page before the head tag. So this is what the JavaScript is injected for, collecting the client statistics. So let me close here and go back to the Application Insights blade. Now you will see that we have something called as lenses, and starting with the one, we have this application health lens. Basically, this lens will give you all this telemetry related to your application. So basically I can see the server response time, the total number of server requests, and out of those requests, how many requests fail. So I can take a look at this blade here. I can select the chart, and I can see, okay, these are the total number of server requests which hit my server. So there were total of 8.4K requests which hit my server, and out of that, 22 requests failed. So I'll get to know, okay, these are total number of failures for my site. So it gives you a pretty much decent idea of how my application is behaving, and you can also take a look at the server response time. You can see the average response time is close to 600 milliseconds. Gives you a good amount of way or the data how your website is behaving. And next, moving further, which is your usage analytics plate. Basically, what this does is, this is collecting all this information for the JavaScript that we injected. So it will give you all the client statistics data. Basically, what it will tell you, what are the total number of users, what are the total number of unique users, which geographical location they access your site from, what type of browsers they use to access your site, and what are the percentage, what are the number of users. So it will also generate a chart for you. So I can say that there are different kind of browsers. Somebody was using Chrome version on that. They were using Safari, Firefox, different versions. You can get all the statistics by looking from here. And you can also determine which geographical location was the request coming from. So I can say that at least total 7,000 or 8,000, approximately 8,000 requests were coming from the United States. Now, the reason why this information is available is, right, let's say you have an application which has global availability, and it will help you understand, okay, from this geographical location, okay, the highest number of users from this geographical location, so I need to add more support or more hardware or more more capability from my side to support these users. So this will help you get a fair idea of how the application is being consumed and where I should concentrate the next improvement for my application. A very good way of collecting the analytics for your application and then feeding the right kind of improvement into it. So this was about the application health and the client statistics. What we also have is next. Let me just close all this blades. It basically confuses you a little.
No, this was. So basically the idea here is you click on these blades. There are different views which we give you for your application. You can click on these blades and they keep on expanding and they allow you to drill down into each thing. For example, you can see the users hitting the website. You can see where they are coming from, what browsers they are using. Are they using devices? It even goes to the detail in the sense that you can go and see what is the screen resolution of the devices which are hitting your website. It is capturing all the data and putting it in here for you to analyze the trends, which trend of users which is hitting, where they are coming, and it also gives you ways to detect issues. For example, it shows you if there is an error, which pages the error is coming from, what is the actual exception which happens, how many pages are failing, how many pages are working, all those statistics it gives you. By enabling this on a website, you can basically see all this data in the Azure portal. So
I can also, there's also a diagnostics lens. So again, I've reset my time range failure. So in the current time range, within the last 24 hours, there were no failures. So, but let's say if there was a request which was failed, I can even take a look at the stack trace of the failing request, because the module that we injected on the server side, right, it collects all that, the tracing or the stack information for that specific request and displays it right over here. And you can drill down more deeper. So everything that you perform will just open another blade and will let you understand what is the information which is available to me. And finally, we have the operations blade, where I said, let's say your application is going down and you don't know. Because not humans, we need to sleep at least for 8 hours. So let's say in those 8 hours time, if your application goes down, and most of developers will know that you typically tend to get calls when you're sleeping. So what you can do is you can configure alert rules where you can say, send me an email whenever my application encounters failure. So all these things will allow you to do your performance monitoring of your application in real time and allow you to collect a lot of data which can help you improve the nature of your application and the performance of the application. At the same time, it will also improve the availability of the application as well. So with that, we have come to the end of a session.
So we accidentally closed that blade, otherwise we could have showed all this data. He'll open this blade while we are, while we take any questions. Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Can we integrate Bing Webmaster in the, I am sorry, I don't know really what is Bing Master. So if, of course, oh yeah, sure, why not? Bing Master works by basically making requests to your website and giving you data, right? Since this is an internet website, of course, Bing Master can give you that data.
Sir, if we set up our website in debug mode, in between that time, the site is online or not?
It is online. When you set your website in debug mode, if you have not hit a breakpoint, because when the breakpoint is hit, that's when you have stopped it, because you're debugging it. But just by putting a website in debug mode, the website is available. But it is just running in debug mode.
So you can see here, I just filtered it out.
For app, the question is, for app insights, do we need to add that script on every page?
So let's say if you want to collect statistics for every page, yes, you have to add the script in every page. It's a page specific. JavaScript has to be included manually in each and every HTML page that you have.
So yeah.
You can customize it. If you know what you're doing, you can always customize. Because that's a JavaScript. You can do customization if you
want to. So let's understand what that script does. That script monitors is basically a way for your application to tell App Insights, hey, this page was browsed. So from App Insights standpoint, that's what it needs. You can do other things, but why would you modify that script? You can just do it in your code and try to achieve what you want, right? Yeah.
Is it allowing like a more granular
Yeah, it can. It does. So it gives you really good analytics view. The existing players in this market are things like Google Analytics and New Relic. There's a similar offer. There's a similar service by Microsoft which provides you views of this sort. The good thing is it will develop and it will improve over going further. This is still in preview. This is like a first view of this service. It's a huge topic. App Insights not only works just for website. You can basically use it for any application. So we're showing it for website, but this you can do for any application for that matter. So very good question. We have staging environment and we have a production environment in websites. How do I identify which log is from where?
So now, I'll just answer that simply. So if you remember when I was deploying my application, I was selecting which application insights resource to send the data to. So just to not to get confused, you can have two application insights resource, one for your production, one for your staging, and you can feed the data to separate resources so that you don't get confused. Because as I know, your application production, applicant staging will have the same pages. So you will definitely get confused. So I think it's better for you to have two separate. And you would probably use application insights for something in production and not in staging, but you can use it for staging to collect all kind of tests that you do. So have separate application insight resources to feed the data to.
And if your question was about general logs, every log we will have a site name associated to it. For example, in the IIS log, we log a site name. So the site name for the production slot and the staging slot will be different. We'll add a tilde to it and then we will be able to see the log files.
Okay, so I wanted to show this earlier. Now, I selected that there were total of 21 exceptions. Of the 22 failed requests, 21 of the requests encountered system.io.file not found exception. And they were for these pages were slow. Now, I selected that and this is the call stack which was given. And scrolling on further, it's actually giving me the call stack which caused the failure. And if you know that the failure is coming from this specific code. So I have a module shared components and under get data, the exception was.
So you have this kind of monitoring already enabled for your website, then you don't have to go and debug it locally and you know understand where to figure out the failure from. So these kind of monitorings will help you, you know, run your websites in production along with this so you can easily identify the issues. So we will take more questions, but just give us one more minute. We'll come to the end of the, we have already come to the end of our presentation. And we want to basically talk about we want to provide you some references. You can go and read more about Kudu Console and all these. There are tutorials available for working with websites, so you can go ahead and refer to them.
And let's say if you want to give any specific feedback, let's say you think this feature needs to be added, what you can do is you can go to a site called feedback.azure.com and raise a vote, create a topic and vote it, and other users can also come and vote it. So the Azure product group is closely monitoring it, so anything that you add there will get added over here.
Okay.
And your feedback is very important, and for feedback that you provide, you'll get registered into daily prizes. So there are two ways to do it. Either you can scan the QR code right from here, or you can go to the application.
The app which we have. Provide that feedback. So now we can take more questions. Do we have time, or what is there another session?
No, we have a lunch break.
So anybody who wants to leave can leave, but we are here for some time to take. We can take questions, right? Okay. Yeah. Sure.